In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Excellent job with the candles. Nobody's on fire. Very good. The collect we had at the start of our service today, the opening prayer, is one of the most loved and beautiful collects in the entire Book of Common Prayer. We pray that we might so read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. And this is a beautiful image and a beautiful promise that if we attend to the Scriptures and we read and mark and learn and we eat them and we make them part of ourselves and they become part of who we are, then the life of God can become internal to us and can become part of our natural way of being in the world, our strength in our way of being in the world. May we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. And that's why people who are really keen on social justice, like Martin Luther King, suggested or said that we had to study daily the words and teachings and the life of Jesus so that his life, as we read it, mark it, and learn it, and digest it, becomes really part of who we are. And this is really kind of weird and kind of an amazing promise that if we attend to Scripture in this way, with love and with attention and care and all that inward digesting, God's life becomes part of who we are. That's extraordinary. However, if we attempt to eat too quickly the Scriptures that we had for this morning, we are likely to have a bad case of spiritual indigestion because they are so wildly contradictory, right? So Isaiah is offering this incredible promise of God's final renewal of creation. I will make a new heaven and a new earth, and I'll create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and its people forever. And there'll be no harm on my holy mountain. No more weeping will be there. And I really want you to hear that promise, that God will make us into delight. Your destiny is to be this creation in which God is so delighted. God's like, wow, look at that. I love that, and all of creation delights with God in you, and all of us have that destiny. That's what God is fundamentally about, making new heaven and new earth and making us to be a delight in spite of our fallenness and in spite of the hurt we have. We will be nothing but delight. Fantastic. Yay. Go God. But then, we have Jesus' words in the gospel today. So about Jerusalem as a delight, Jesus says, yes, about the temple in the heart of Jerusalem, the very heart of God's presence in God's among God's people. And Jesus says, yes, it's beautiful and the gifts are great, but not one stone will be left upon another. All be taken apart. All be unmade. The very center of the sense of God's presence with his people, not one stone left upon another. And as far as a new earth, Jesus says there'll be earthquakes, famines, and plagues. And as far as a new heaven, Jesus says there'll be portents in the sky, like the moon dripping with blood, or the blood-red moon. And then he goes on to promise us persecutions and hatreds and betrayals and dying. So you get what I mean? There's kind of a contradiction going on here between Isaiah and Luke and Jesus. And the way that I make sense of these is I put them in kind of an order. I put them in an order. So we begin with our hope. And really anchoring into that hope that God is indeed love, God is at work, God makes us into a people who will be delight. That is inevitable. That is your destiny. That's all you get to be. is a delight for God. God is at work making new heaven, new earth, and new you. Through all the suffering, though, and the unmaking, the stones being lifted off one another in our lives. So there's a process here in which, yes, God is going to fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah, but as part of the journey there, there's going to be unmaking of what we thought was ourselves. There's going to be times of hurt, times of suffering, plagues, earthquakes, wars, which all sounds very realistic to me. And this seems credible to me, this idea that we have to go through times of unmaking and of being taken apart by the sufferings of this life and by the wrong of this life, by the sin of this world, so that God can make us new as a people of delight. That idea seems credible to me because, you know, the poets talk about it. You know, we've got Dante who wants to go to heaven, but he has to go down into the inferno first and then up through the purifying purgatory, and then he gets up to the circling of delight that is the paradiso. And following on that, there is the great image of T.S. Eliot, of us in the hospital that God has care for us. And Eliot says, "The wounded surgeon plies the steel that questions the distempered part. Beneath the bleeding hands, we feel the sharp compassion of the healer's art, resolving the enigma of the fever chart. Our only health," Eliot says, "is the disease. If we obey the dying nurse," and the dying nurse, by the way, is the church, "whose constant care is not to please, but to remind of our and Adam's curse, and that to be restored, our sickness must grow worse." So, the poets are like, yep, the poets are on board with this. They're like saying, yep, that's how it happens. That's how we come to new life, is by the taking apart of all that we thought we were, and this process of dying is how we're born again. And we see that in Jesus, right? Jesus has to die on the cross before he can be raised to life and power and glory. Are you with me so far? We got this pattern going on. And I'll tell you why this is so important to me. It's so important to me because it's pretty clear to me that not everything is great, right? In our lives, in the world around us, the world is, as the church would say, it's hampered by sin. And so there's just a lot of hurt in this life, and there's a lot of wrongness, and there's a lot of things that just seem really difficult. And we can have hope in the face of that, right? There's like hope, like God eventually is going to make this new. And that's what I call single hope. Like God is really in charge. God is going to do stuff to make everything good. But when you see this pattern of having to go down and be unmade by the sufferings of life in order to be remade as the people God wants us to be, well, then we have something what I call a double braided hope. Because you have the hope that, like, yes, God is actually in charge and love is going to create new heaven and new earth and make us a delight. And we have the hope that God is with us in the hard times of life, in the times of unmaking, and that part of God's working, this is what God does, is he joins us in those times and uses them to open our hearts to God's actual life, to God's compassion, to God's loving, to God's truthfulness in the world. That is where God works. And for me, that is really exciting, because it means that I don't have to live so much in fear, or I don't have to live denying a whole half of my life. But, yes, I mean, there's good stuff, right? There's great stuff which shows God's presence and all that in our lives. But there's also really difficult stuff. And there's times of loss, and there's times of being taken apart, piece by piece, stone by stone, until we think nothing is left. And part of what we're dealing with when we deal with the God who goes down into our death in order to raise us up to new life is that's what God does. God uses all that has gone wrong in our lives to open us in a new compassion for the world, to connect us more deeply with this world. And then we get a sense that deep in who we are connected with God and with each other, and we're living more with God's life. That's an amazing promise. It's not just about God gives us good stuff or God's going to make everything great sometime. But we can be brave enough to really put our arms around those hurt places, those difficult places, and begin to ask, God, how are you making me new here? How are you opening myself to a connection? How is this loss and this grief, this apparent wrongness, how is it part of my new connection in strength with this world? And with your love for this world. This is beautiful. This is kind of extraordinary. And for me, you know, it kind of worked out this way. It's how I've kind of experienced this, that after my conversion when I was 18, I was like, I'm going to give my entire life to God. I'm going to do it all. And I thought, but I went to church that next day, and I'm not going to pray for forgiveness of sins because I'm totally given to God. Woo! That's what I was like, a little idealistic. You know, but I thought I had done it. I'd given my life to God. But my life has been a process of like trying to build temples to God, trying to build selves, trying to build a place in the world. And then God takes them apart, stone by stone, bit by bit. And I encounter myself, the hurt and the wrong that I've been trying to avoid. I'm like, no, that's the worst thing, God. That's the worst thing. And God's like, no. Look how this connects you with creation and with me loving this world. Look at this new life it gives. Holy cow. The double braided hope. So, after the service today, I understand a good half of you are going to run off to Sasul and have your pita and your hummus and so on. And you're going to meet somebody there at Sasul who hasn't been in church for like 6 years. And they'll ask you, like, well, why? What, you're still going to St. Paul's? I don't go anymore. I don't go. Because they'll say, look, I got my fellowship in my bicycle group. And I still work with Habitat for Humanity. So I got fellowship and I got outreach and I give, you know, a lot of money away every year. Things are going well. I get my spiritual teaching from podcasts. You know, all good. And you might say something like this. Why do you go to church? In the spirit of this homily, why do you go to church? And it might be something like this. Like, I've lived long enough in this world to know that things go wrong. Right? They do. No matter how well we try to get things right, things go wrong. And in response to that, you can either be like, okay, I'm going to try to win the game for as long as I can, you know, and hold off the suffering for as long as I can, have the best possible life, and then, you know, end with the most toys, you know? Just trying to hold off the suffering for as long as one possibly can. That's one choice. You can do that. Or you can have this double-braided hope. And you can be like, you know, I go to church because what's offered to me there is this image of a God who just comes into all that is, gives all that is good and all that is joyful, but also comes into all that is a little wrong or very wrong. And I can bring all my hurt and all my wrong to that God, and that God then helps me to use that to connect and have a new life with the world, with compassion, with goodness, with integrity. And that connection with God doesn't happen in all those other places. It's different at church. So, may God work with us as we digest these scriptures. May we see, yes, there is the hope. We will be made a people of delight. And that's just awesome. You can just take that for today. Like, I'm a person who is bound for delight. And we can go through this process of unmaking that life inevitably gives us, right? In the trust that God is there to connect us newly with God's self and with his creation and with humanity. May God do this with us. Amen.